Well, I'm starting if you're not ready. Ready or not, here we are.
I've been ready for a while.
Well, it's a quality time. It's 5 o'clock on Friday, and now we get to have the weekend.
I see this big imaginary equal sign between us.
What? What did you just say?
Nothing.
Okay. Good. I'll have an applause. So, how was your week?
Well, first of all, I'm Carissa.
Oh, hi. I'm Lori. Well, I'll just jump right in. Hi.
My week was very challenging.
Yeah.
Mm. Yours?
I agree with that sentiment. Mine was challenging, too. Yeah. Mm. Yes, but I'm so glad it's Friday.
Very emotional week for me.
Oh.
Because this is entering week two of no hormones for me.
Oh, yes, pre-surgery.
Pre-surgery stuff. And I have permanent PMS.
Mm. That's not fun.
Mm-mm. It's been a really bad time. I was in a really bad place last night, and I reached out to a friend of mine, and she helped me through it. Just a lot of it's just in my head. It's just triggers, you know?
Yeah.
And my testosterone is so high, I can just sense it. I can't test it, but I can sense it. Because there's no T blockers, no estrogen taking, no finasteride, no progesterone. And
so explain a little bit about all those hormones that you just said, so that people can understand, you know, what it is that you're talking about.
So for a male to female transgender individual, after some counseling, you will be offered hormone replacement therapy, which consists of estradiol. Estradiol is the medicine form of, estrace is the medicine. Estradiol is, I think, what's in the blood. I don't remember. Anyway, it's estradiol, and that gives you that, those feminine hormones. That is the feminine hormone, that gives you secondary sexual characteristics, breast growth, thinning skin, it increases fat under the skin, which makes it softer, way softer. And
it stops some hair growth, like facial
hair growth. Yeah, in fact, I was just looking at my arms. And yes, I've been lasered and all that, but I'm seeing a boost in arm growth, hair growth, not arm growth.
Arm growth, you're getting muscles.
Oh, no, please God, no. No. yep, so I have a laser hair removal appointment tomorrow, in fact. So estrogen also feminizes everything about the body. I mean, the mind, too. After just a couple months, I was able to cry.
Mm.
You know, and after about 6 months, I started feeling that I was getting a cycle, a PMS cycle, not physically, but emotionally. And there's a bunch of other side effects like breast growth. Yay.
And now you have to stop those medicines before you go into surgery. Now, do you get those again after surgery?
Yes. Spironolactone is FDA approved for use for blocking testosterone in otherwise a body who's assigned male, actually in anybody really, it just basically, I think it covers up the receptors, the testosterone receptors in the body, so free testosterone doesn't get absorbed into those receptors. And then there's also progesterone that's later taken. It depends on the doctor, it depends on what you want, but you know, women, men too, but women make a bit more progesterone. And the jury is out as to what that does. But from what I've read, it seems to quench estrogen receptors. It helps with breast growth. It helps with having some balance between estrogen and testosterone.
Mm-hmm.
And also, when you start taking E, estrogen, your libido goes to zero.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because testosterone is responsible for libido in both genders. And when T starts to drop from, say, 600 down to 6, and E goes from 12 to 300 in probably 6 months, That's a whole nother bag, you know. So, and then there's other medicines too, like finasteride, 1 milligram, that can be taken to help male pattern baldness.
Oh.
Actually, for both genders too, for androgenic alopecia, which is the $64 word for going bald,
losing your hair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and combine that with Rogaine does help.
Oh, okay.
So,
I know we just kind of jumped into stuff today, and we didn't even say where we are. We are Equality Time. We're here every week on Fridays at 5:00, and we're here to talk about all things equality, and it's where everyone's included, no matter your sexual orientation, gender identity, or expression. And we have come here to talk about equality. So so glad that everybody's here today listening to us, and we have got a couple good things to talk about, not only pre-surgery things for Carissa, but also I found some myths. I'll say the words more clearly because
that was
earlier
just
when
me.
I said something, but about LGBT people that we're going to talk about, and some other comments that people have made by email. We do have to go to a break in a couple minutes, but not quite ready yet. So I don't know what our topic right now can be.
Oh, let's talk about how tomatoes really should not be a fruit.
Well, discuss. They have seeds. Or cucumbers are supposedly a fruit too.
Oh, no. Mm. No.
They got seeds. All right. Well, let's go to a break. We'll come back in just a moment.
And they can be used to scare your cat.
I saw that video, but I haven't tried it.
Yes.
I've got two cats. I'll have to try it. We'll be right back. Well, hello. We are late after that song.
No, we're not. We know what we're doing.
Okay, got it. It's perfect. It was Firework by Katy Perry.
Spock, you don't always have to tell the truth. It's okay to tell a lie.
I cannot lie.
You fib a little. Remember? You used to call me Jim.
Did you know that Katy Perry is an LGBT advocate, despite her strong religious upbringing?
Oh, yes, I do. And, yeah, she used to be a Christian artist.
She grew up as a gospel-singing girl who was raised in youth groups that were pro-conversion camps. She found she was curious and that sexuality is not as black and white as she was told. Yeah. Firework is number 38 in a Billboard list of 50 best LGBT anthems of all time.
How is that LGBT firework?
I don't know. Maybe talking about show off like a firework, you know, your true self is kind of what I get from that song.
True colors.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would have to read. I mean, I want to read lyrics.
Yeah.
I would have to read lyrics. I mean, her Kissed a Girl variation is another thing, you know. Demi Lovato has one, Cool for the Summer. And there's probably umpteen billion other ones out there, too.
I'm sure.
You know?
Mm-hmm. I think it's really just kind of a supportive thing to kind of show who you are and don't worry about what people say.
Yeah. If you're curious, if you're a girl and you're curious, well, yeah, how do you initiate that? You ever hear the parable of the lesbian rabbits? Did I ever tell you that?
No. Go ahead, tell our listeners. When is it?
Okay, so this is, I'm paraphrasing in my own words of the story that I heard from another lesbian woman that told me about it, or either that or I read it somewhere. So in the forest, hopping along were a bunch of bunnies, and it was springtime. And so a male bunny just sits there, and another male bunny comes along, sits next to him. They're having a little conversation, wiggling their thing, and the dominant bunny starts to hump the beta bunny. The alpha humps the beta. So they go off happy ever after. And then up come along is a female bunny, and a male bunny comes along. He looks at her, she looks at him, and he humps her. And then they go off and get married. Over hop along is another girl bunny. And a second girl bunny, who's a lesbian. And these are two lesbian bunnies, actually. As opposed to two gay bunnies and two straight bunnies. So two lesbian bunnies walk next to each other. They have a conversation. Nice weather today. nothing happens. They look at each other and they just kind of hippity hop away. Mm-hmm. Because no one wants to make a move.
Okay.
So, I've heard and I've experienced situations where, like, I know I like a girl. She keeps looking at me, but we don't do anything about it because we just presume that each other is straight, right? And then next week I'll see her, and then we exchange smiles again, but we never get to talk. And again, and again. And it's the separation of the two that makes each other dangerous. It makes it piques the curiosity. Until you really get to know their name and actually have a conversation, then you become friends, or you just jump into bed. So my point is that I think this might be true with femmes too. Feminine lesbians, I think, based on my little experience, is that they just presume that each other are straight, because if you are feminine, you just presume that you're straight, which not always true. I mean, I'm mostly gay myself, and I'm a femme. So where do you go with that? I don't know. It's
not easy, I'm sure. You know, it's not easy. The people that I met and went out with, I did when I knew it was a gay place, like at a gay bar, or where I was going to a gay bowling league. You know, it's like you go there because you are gay and you decided you wanted to be part of something of other gay people. So that's how you meet them. I don't know about doing it when you are meeting people just out on the street, and I can see that being a very difficult
or just
way
or just like people. A general pop co-ed kind of thing, mm-hmm. like say a 30-something dating meetup or 40-something, 50, so on and so forth.
Right. You know? Yeah. Yeah, you have to start to get to know them, and then as they talk about, you know, things, and then they're like, oh, my boyfriend before, or this and that. It's kind of like, okay, well, that's the end of that.
Well, yeah, who knows? Hmm. I mean, there's a whole other thing with it. How the gentlemen are, I'm not really sure of. You know, I can only speak for the lesbian side of things, but you know, if a woman is bisexual, then she might talk about a boyfriend, whatever, and of course another girl has zero interest in this, it'll probably actually turn her off. You know? Yep. So
it's when you're around people, that's kind of when you know for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Plus then there's also the thing I think we discussed in our definitions, the gaydar.
Right.
You know. Transdar is a little bit more difficult, I think.
I imagine.
Because I don't want to just go up to someone, you know, I want to make friends, and so I just can't go and say, you know, I really like your outfit. I know, say you're really tall and you don't have much for hips or boobs. Are you trans? It's like, you don't do that.
Yeah.
That's like the worst thing.
That would be kind of offensive, I would say.
Right. It's like going to a woman who has a bit of a bump and you say, oh, what do you do? And she's just overweight.
Yeah.
You know.
Definitely offensive. And yeah. They wouldn't be wanting to be friends with you at that point. Yeah. That'd be hard. Right, you never know, and so that's why I wouldn't want to just assume anything.
Yeah.
You have to get to know somebody or be in a place where you know that gay people or trans people are.
Yep. Yep.
Or even if it's something, a social media thing where they've said that they're gay, trans.
P-town.
Right. You go there, it's kind of like, well, if you're meeting people there,
if you're straight, you're different.
Yeah. Straight, yeah, I've sis. Seen, you know, people, straight couples going there just to kind of watch gay people, which is a little weird.
We're not zoo animals.
No. Yeah? We're just, we're the same. We do the same things. We go to the stores. We, You know, go to the beach. It's the same thing. But why do they have to watch people?
You know.
And even though we feel freer to be able to kiss our partners or on the street or hold hands, why do you need to watch that?
I don't know. I mean,
P-Town's awesome, and I love your P-Town shirt that you're wearing today.
My sweatshirt.
Yep.
P-Town Roundup 30th anniversary. Yeah, I got that 2 years ago.
Oh.
And two Octobers ago, in fact. Mm-hmm. And I got a lot of compliments on this today. I wore, you know, work to work. I just, actually, because my testosterone is up, I've been feeling more butch lately.
Hmm.
So what I'm wearing today is about as butch as I'll get.
Yeah, it's very different from what I've noticed you're wearing.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I have my hair in a ponytail or a bun or whatever. I have, like, boots. They're women's round boots, but, you know, and jeans and this sweatshirt, baggy sweatshirt, and with minor makeup and all that because, and I have no nail polish on. I'm completely naked, naked nails.
Well, not naked.
Well, this is what I call naked.
Oh, yeah.
You know, me and my bestie Amanda, that's what we call it.
Mm-hmm.
And now my nails need to breathe.
Mm.
And yeah, so. Yeah, well, we're hodgepodging this.
We are.
Yeah, which is great.
We'll talk a little bit about myths. I want to do that after the break.
Yeah, I'm still trying to get guests on here.
Yeah, you should definitely bring some friends.
I mean, I have a couple friends, lesbian friends, that I saw a couple weeks ago, and I tried to get them on here, but no.
Just come and talk to us. That'd be fun.
We're not going to bite.
No, and it's great to have people just talk to us about what their experiences in their lives. Love to do that.
It would be an interesting topic of conversation if we had some people here that frequented, if we had some LGBT people that frequented P-Town and told us some stories of straight cis browsing them.
Browsing them. That's a really good one.
I mean, it's like if you're really curious, just go to, I don't know, a gay porn site or watch a movie. You know, it's like, no, we're human beings just like you, you know? I mean, have you ever gone to P-Town and just made out in public?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Because you can.
Cause
it's like a gay playground, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You just can. And, you know, people aren't going to, well, except for the straight people who are there watching, people aren't going to sit there and stare or make comments or, you know, things like that.
In fact, that's what I got when I went to Roundup. And also Fantasia Fair, there's some people there I knew from Fantasia. It's the same exact week in October, I think the third week in October. And that's when I got the sweatshirt. And I met this woman who's trans, and I thought she was delightful. And we just kind of spent like a day or so on and off together or whatever, and just hanging out and just kissing on the park bench.
I haven't ever been to a Roundup. Long time ago I've gone to Women's Week, but that's also in October.
Roundup is 12 step.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's
that's why.
AA Al-Anon Al-Ateen.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But it's okay. LGBT.
Great. Awesome.
Yippers peppers. So we'll take a break and we'll be right back.
All right. Well, stay with us. Hi, everybody. We're back. This is Equality Time.
That was a nice little segue you did there. Yeah, you were just a nice little fade and then started speaking.
Yeah. Well,
that was pretty good.
All right. Good. Thank you.
All right. You win a cookie.
Thank you. I'll have to get that when I get off of the show. So I'm going to bring up these myths that I found online. And did I say the word okay, or did you? Can you kind of looked at me like, what are you talking about?
I was thinking more about the transgender. What causes you to be transgender?
Oh,
and that business.
Then. Oh,
go ahead.
Okay.
Gay head.
So these are 10 key myths propagated by the anti-gay movement, along with some truths.
Does it reference what the, quote, anti-gay movement is?
Hmm. Well, basically people who are homophobic or against it or trying to find ways to say that they are
wrong
or not doing things.
Yeah, of course, if they're anti-gay, maybe they're against stupidity. How ironic, huh?
Right, because I can't tell how stupid they are.
Okay, Laurie.
Number one.
Shoot me.
Gay men molest children at far higher rates than heterosexuals.
Bang.
That's so totally not true. I work at Hasbro Children's Hospital, and I know for a fact there was a study done by the director of the Child Protection Program in Hasbro, and that program, they see children who have been abused. Now, in the study that they did, I don't remember how many they had in the study, but there was zero people who were gay men who were pedophiles or were those who were abusing children.
Yeah, this is just an object of fear. Mm-hmm. We fear what we don't understand. We get angry over what we fear. Yoda said it best. Fearling leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering, right? Even if it was from the Phantom Menace, even still, very true words.
The Child Molestation Research and Prevention Institute notes that 90% of child molesters target children in their network of family and friends, and the majority are men married to women.
Mm-hmm.
Most child molesters, therefore, are not gay people lingering outside schools waiting to snatch children from playgrounds, as much religious right rhetoric suggests.
I wonder, for statistically, for those men who prey on children, and I wonder what if there's any studies to what their political affiliation is.
I don't know. I hadn't heard any. I can only assume, but I hadn't heard any.
Okay.
So what's number two.
Number two.
Same-sex parents harm children.
How so, Laurie? Would you know anything about that?
I can say that I have a child and I have a same-sex wife. We do not harm our child.
And I've been to your house a few times, mm-hmm. and if anything, your child harms you.
Okay, good. That's yes. Right. We do not harm our child.
No, they don't. They're... Yeah, they're delightful parents.
No legitimate research has demonstrated that same-sex couples are any more or any less harmful to children than heterosexual mm-hmm. couples.
Yep.
So, number three. People become homosexual because they were sexually abused as children or there was a deficiency in sex role modeling by their parents.
So, first we'd like to know a little bit about what sexual role modeling is.
I don't know.
Right? Exactly.
Is it that father in the house is a male and they do male things, masculine things?
But that's gender.
Okay. But that could still be a role. Like if they're out there mowing the lawn or they're taking care of the trash. I don't know what their rules
sexual are. Sexual modeling to me, I mean, this is kind of disgusting because it has to do with like, youth, and it's like youth is supposed to be loved and protected, but I mean, I don't know. It's like, hey, son, I think it's time we had a talk, or mom and daughter have a talk and kind of sort of press upon their children what sexuality is. The birds and the bees talk. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. The birds and the bees. Maybe that's what they mean by sexual modeling.
Maybe.
You know? It's like you have a man and a woman, and they just lock into that and say the child is gay, and they're just trying to figure this out. They're 12 years old or something like that, and they're starting to come into their own. And as a tween, as a young teenager, maybe that's what it is.
Maybe, but I don't know. Because
I mean, I had the talk when I was 12,
mm-hmm.
and yeah, it was a man and a woman kind of thing.
Yeah,
my mom told me about it.
Well, then you had that talk,
sure,
and you had that role modeling type thing, but
it was also the mid-80s too.
Okay, yeah,
so
that's true.
Yeah.
So then it's.
It was also had practical reason. Don't knock a girl up. You know, she put the fear of God in me.
Yeah. Well, there's no there's no fact that says that no scientifically sound study has definitively linked sexual orientation or identity with parental role modeling or childhood sexual abuse.
See, this proves why Lori is better at anchoring, because she actually gets to the point. And I just keep babbling.
Oh. Number four. LGBT people don't live nearly as long as heterosexuals. Really?
Show me the data.
I know. Exactly. They say that.
So what is it that you care how long
I know they're
live.
Promoting heterosexually as the healthier choice. What is it? Okay, so we're back to it. This is a choice, which it's not. And
what is this, like, healthy choice meals that you find at the market? You know?
So a healthy choice.
I mean, do we have more sodium or something like that? I
don't know.
I mean, less
a
check.
They say that the shorter lifespans and poorer physical health and mental health of gays and lesbians as reasons why they shouldn't be allowed to adopt or
last
foster
I checked,
children.
Actually, gay and lesbian folks are actually better fit. So they're lower fat.
Lower fat. Healthier. Good. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so this one.
I have not cussed, okay?
No. You haven't. Okay. Maybe in your head, but all right. I have a dump button.
Everybody, Lori, if I swear, Lori has to take a dump.
Button.
Hey, we're trying to work our ratings here.
I want to know, like, how many people actually listen. Maybe there's 2, 5, maybe even 10.
Okay, guys. All right. I got a challenge for all our listeners. If you don't listen, we want to hear about it.
How about we get some readings and we get some people to actually tell us that they listen? That would be awesome.
That totally wouldn't suck. Okay.
No, it totally wouldn't suck. All right. Number 5. This one, I can't even say the words. Gay men controlled the Nazi party and helped to orchestrate the Holocaust.
Okay. All right. That statement is so illogical, it would cause Spock to, I don't know, laugh.
What about the myth of the pink triangle? You know, that was basically that.
The what?
The pink triangle.
What is that?
That was in Nazi Germany. That's what the Nazis put a pink triangle on gay people,
yeah,
just to show that those were the gay people. So they like put it on their chest.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, what was the myth again?
That gay men controlled the Nazi party.
All right. Well, again, that doesn't make any sense, because the Nazi party wanted to eliminate everybody that wasn't Aryan, German, Austrian, and
right, their nationality.
Believed in Hitler, mm-hmm. You know. If you were of any other religious affiliation, you were gone.
Right.
And this included artists, musicians, anyone in the liberal arts. I think unless Hitler liked you or something.
Mm. Well, one of the Nazi views on homosexuality was this: we must exterminate these people, root and branch. We can't permit such danger to the country. The homosexual people must be eliminated. Yeah. So that
sounds like something out of like He-Man.
He-Man.
Must be eliminated.
Must be eliminated.
Skeletor reigns supreme.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It's 5:45.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to just read this myth and just let people stew on it while we go to break.
Stew
on it. Myth number 6. Hate crime laws will lead to the jailing of pastors who criticize homosexuality and the legalization of practices like bestiality and necrophilia.
Well, why not just stop at necrophilia? I mean, you could just do all these other kinds of philias.
Exactly. Well, let's come back and talk about it more.
All right.
Well, we're back with equality time. So do you want to tell people what you think about this myth, as you were saying on the off air?
Oh,
Hate crime laws will lead to jailing of pastors who criticize homosexuality and the legalization of practices like bestiality and necrophilia.
All right. Well, the first thing out of the gate is that the whoever thought of this thought that they were being clever by mentioning bestiality and necrophilia. Well, that along with pedophilia are probably probably the three most abhorrent sinful forms of whatever sexual whatever it is. But there's a lot more philias out there. Mm-hmm. There are hundreds of them. So it kind of tells me that, well, you can only think of these three.
Two.
You must, well, there's also pedophilia,
yeah,
which was already mentioned. It always comes down to the kids. It's all about the kids, you know, and how they, you know, some people will just make nice and try to put these laws upon others. But really, what's in their mind when they think of these things in the first place?
Mm.
Like those who, this is what I have to say about it. Those that, whether they have a right-wing agenda or not, if they think of these things to talk about, really, what's on their mind? You know?
One of the things here on the argument on this is that the part where it says jailing pastors, because it will criminalize speech against the homosexual
All right,
agenda.
Yeah, that was the other thing. I mean, that makes no sense.
No.
Because anyone who's under the rainbow, what they do with their life does not affect pastors.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Mm-hmm. Pastors are going to preach based on the Holy Spirit. If they are a good pastor, they will pray about it and they will seek the Holy Spirit to allow words to flow through them, mm-hmm, to the people. Pastor is a way of bringing God's children to church and to teach and to offer hope. What the pastor does is completely independent of all the other agendas. If they are a bad pastor, and if this business of anyone who's LGBT affects them, and then they start preaching hate because of that, that's the pastor's problem. It has nothing to do with it. That's my argument.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
you know, this is a classic case of I am not responsible for your feelings.
Mm.
You know, unless I directly hurt you.
Right. And why is it have anything to do with them criticizing homosexuality? I mean, if they're this still bothers me with people who are criticizing homosexuality based on their religious beliefs, because being a Christian, you're supposed to love everybody. Did they not read that part of the Bible? But still, if there these pastors are criticizing homosexuality, are they really being the pastors that they should be?
Well, okay. Yeah, that's right. And tell me in the Bible where it says it's an abhorrent sin that isn't in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
They will cite it's unnatural. Okay. Well, there's lots of things that Christians will do that are unnatural.
Sure.
Like eat modified cornstarch.
Mm. There's a lot of weird things that people can eat, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, in their cooking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, does that mean that we should go and only eat sugar out of a sugar stalk, cane, out of sugar cane?
I know, there's a lot of things that...
I mean, where does the buck stop?
Exactly. You can't just pick and choose.
You can't just pick and choose. Mm-hmm. And you shouldn't be judging in the first place. True Christians don't judge.
Mm, exactly.
And they will love you unconditionally regardless of who you are. And they also believe that even the most sinful creatures can still be saved.
Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean that you and your homosexual, you know, that you're sinful because of that.
I mean, I am a sinner.
As we all are.
As we all are. Whether we like it or not.
Heterosexual or homosexual.
Yep.
We all are. And so pastors as well as any Christians need to love everybody because we're all the same.
That's what we're called to do.
That's right. So let's just move on to number 7 because we don't have a whole lot more time left of our hour of equality time. Number 7, allowing gay people to serve openly will damage the armed forces.
How will it damage the armed forces?
Thank you. I don't really can't give you a reason. I can read you what it says
here. Because those men and women are professionals. They're professional soldiers that guard, protect, and serve our asses. Our, you know, this lazy citizen. And I love the military. My partner was in the military, and I love her for all the reasons, but I just have a soft spot for them because they put their lives on the line to keep me safe.
I have several people in my family who were in the military. My grandfather was in the Army. He was in World War II. My uncle was a nearly lifelong person in the Army. He just recently retired, and I can remember him when I was growing up as the person who was deployed to some other country somewhere. He was in Germany for a long time. He was in many other countries. And my brother was in the Air Force, and he was also deployed many different places. And so I, too, have a soft spot for the military because my family was a big part of it.
Yep.
And people are risking their lives to go in the military. It doesn't matter what their gender identity is. They should be able to do that if that's what they
If you don't appreciate that, why don't you go and play laser tag with your friends? And what it might feel like to get shot with a ball. Never mind a bullet.
There's one thing in here that it says their argument is that they fear that combat readiness will be undermined. How so?
It has nothing to do with it.
How so? Because the military has long been considered the purest meritocracy in America.
But how do you define
why
purity?
Why does that have anything to do with that? Yeah.
And right. The last time anyone ever talked about purity was because of the Third Reich.
There we are.
Right? We cannot call purity. God is pure. Even the U.S. military is not pure.
Right. So the facts are that they've long served in the U.S., even if they haven't said anything because of don't ask, don't tell. They've been in there. They haven't said anything to anybody. So, but they've been there for a long time. Now for them just to be open, they're saying it's not right. I don't get it. It's the same people, whether they say they are gay or not.
Sure.
They've been in the military. So let me go on to myth number eight. Number eight, gay people are more prone to being mentally ill and to abuse drugs and alcohol. Really? I know a lot of people who abuse drugs and alcohol who are not gay.
Well, I know from personal experience and other people that I know who are LGBTQ that it's not because I'm gay that I'm an alcoholic. Or not because I'm transgender, because I am. I'm an alcoholic because I was born that way, just like being trans.
Trans is not.
Abusing alcohol and drugs for any kind of addict or alcoholic is a symptom of a greater problem, you know? So, keeping the anonymity of press, radio, or films, I cannot talk about this any further by any kind of programs, but it... being rejected by certain members of my family or being looked at poorly, I should say, not rejected, but looked at poorly by some people in my family, that has given me impetus to abuse. And I'm not the only person that feels that way. I know of plenty of other people on the rainbow that have had greater impetus to abuse substances, dry goods, wet goods, because of rejection.
Yeah, and I'm sure that a lot of heterosexual people feel the same way for the same reasons.
I was a straight heterosexual guy that way for 40-something years because I did not want to come out. So I just abused it and hid it, and I was deep in the closet running stealth. And I...
Yeah. Maybe I'm sorry, and I'm glad that you are getting the help that you need.
I am.
In the groups that you go to. And I am. just want to mention, because we're at the end of our hour, but I wanted to say that there's a lot of different support groups out there for people who do abuse substances.
Yep.
And please use them.
There are depression groups. There are 12-step groups. There are great therapists, peer-to-peer groups.
That's right. Well, on that, I want to just say that we need to leave this show for tonight. But there are many different ways that you can contact us. We have a Facebook page, Equality Time. We also have an email. It's equalitytime1320@gmail.com. And you can always text us, and we will answer your comments or questions on the air. We didn't talk about the phone number during the show today, but you can always do that. It's 774-219-1279. And as Ellen DeGeneres says, be kind to one another and come back and listen to us next week.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye. Have a good week.